Amen. What a wonderful celebration this morning. He has overcome and we are saved. And there's no cancel culture that will ever take away your salvation. Amen. It is done by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for that. As you're standing, we're going to look into our Bible this morning, Revelation. And so we have been in a study in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, we would be in chapter 6. It has to do a lot with different kinds of challenging relationships. I thought it would be good, and I'm trusting the Lord to bring forth a message about the return of Jesus Christ. It's sooner than ever before, and we'll all be encouraged today. In Revelation chapter 19, speaking about the return of Jesus Christ, you have some of the text in your bulletin there this morning, but in verse 11 it says, Now John speaking, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the white horse. And now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father in heaven, we ask, as you've already blessed this time with prayer and fellowship, with worship, and now bringing your word. You exalt your word above your name, and we are here humbly before you. And God, you have a word for all of us through your word today to understand the biblical truth, and yet the Spirit of God taking this biblical truth and ministering to each one of us today. Forgive us again, Lord, of our sins. We come humbly before you. In advance, we pray, God, as you reveal yourself to us, we'd be willing all the more to follow you wholeheartedly with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, we want to be lovers of Jesus and lovers of others. We cannot do that unless your Spirit just takes over. And we pray for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus came. Jesus is coming. And he is coming to stop a battle and to start a kingdom. There is a battle coming. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And it's not very far away from the time in which we live right now. And Jesus is going to come back. And what I say at that point is move over every politician. Jesus is here. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Finally being able to rule in righteousness. Everything we've hoped for. Everything we've longed for. In the Bible, there's discussion, and the number one discussion is faith. But the second discussion most spoke about is the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about it 1,845 times, about one out of every 30 verses. For every first time his first coming is spoken about in the Bible, his second coming is spoken about 8 times. 21 times Jesus refers to a second coming. Over 50 times the Bible speaks about being ready for his return. And the purpose of this message and the purpose of prophecy is not to cause anyone to fear, but to create faith in our heart. We've been living at a time where, and it is escalating again more than ever before, trying to bring forth burdens and fears through government and other things, and God has no part of that. He cast out fear. In God, there's perfect love. And as we study the Word of God and even this message with prophecy, it'll stir our hearts. Jesus would say in Matthew 24, "Watch therefore, you do not know the hour that the Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So for me personally, I believe what we're studying today can happen in our lifetime, in my lifetime. I believe that there was a wonderful, beautiful, epic event in all of human history. It began in Genesis 1:1. That epic event is when God spoke into existence the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. What an epic event. And we travel through a lot of history to see another epic event, and that was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came to earth, and he came here for one purpose, and that is to save us, to redeem us, and to bring us back to heaven to spend eternity with him. And that epic event was followed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything he said and did would mean nothing if there wasn't the resurrection of the dead. And so since the resurrection of the dead, there is another epic event coming, and that is Jesus Christ returning from heaven to the earth. There's something that'll take place before that happens, and that is for you and for me and for every believer in Jesus Christ, the church, the body of Christ, his bride. He is going to take his bride to be with him, to be in heaven. We'll study that this morning in Scripture. There's something called the marriage feast of the Lamb, and that is for every believer being with Jesus in heaven during a 7-year period of tribulation on earth. That is happening, and it can happen at any time. And then we're going to come back from heaven with Jesus Christ. I want to exhort us, as the Word of God says, now is the time to watch, stand fast in faith, be brave and be strong. Let's not sleep, but let's watch and let's be sober-minded. A blood-bought bride, prepared and waiting for the bridegroom. The signs of his coming kingdom have never been clearer. And so we say today, but Pastor, and you hear this out there, Pastor, we need help. This world needs help. Pastor, what is the answer? What is the answer to all the wars? What is the answer to the pandemic? What is the answer to the evil and the violence and the destruction taking place in our world? What is the answer to crime? Marriage is falling apart. Family situations, difficult. What is the answer? And the answer is the appearing of Jesus Christ. When he comes back, he will settle it all, and we're looking forward to that. We have great hope. You know, when we speak about the second coming of Christ, that terminology, the second coming, that is used in newspapers. There is a certain newspaper type, large, big, bold type, and it's called the second coming type. And to think about the world realizing it is going to happen, it's going to take place. Look with me now. We need to take this whole chapter in context. In verse 1 of chapter 19, John is speaking. He says, after these things, I heard a loud voice and great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Right here in these first few verses, we have a word, hallelujah. It's used 4 times. It's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. And this word, hallelujah, means praise the Lord. And this means switcheroo. I guess it's picking up wind. Maybe that's better. We'll see. It's got like a big clown nose on it now. Thanks, Victor. You're the best. I appreciate that. So this first part in chapter 19, the first 10 verses, there's this word hallelujah used, and it's speaking about this great celebration in heaven. My friends, when I read this, I plan to be in heaven. I plan to be watching and participating and being a part of this. What we're reading right here, this is for believers in heaven. John got to see it in advance. Verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants, the servants shed by her. And again, in verse 3, they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. What is taking place is this. We're living at a time right now that is, we're facing what is going to be a global world government and a global world religion, a political system and a religious system, a one world system and a one world religion. You know that to be true. You understand that. You see things out there. You're aware of that. You know this globalism, you know where it's going. It's in the Bible. He speaks about that. So the things that concern us and disturb us right now, we realize that this is right on track with what God has been talking about. And he has been using this pandemic worldwide for us as believers to get a glimpse of how this will really take place, the gathering together of a one world leader. And when we see this, we are in heaven, and God says, before this great epic event, when he comes to earth, he's going to deal with it finally. He's going to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. We'll see that. And what is happening in heaven is that there is rejoicing. They are singing praise. They are saying, hallelujah, the time has come. Verse 4 of chapter 19. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, hallelujah, saying, amen. And what a blessing that would be. We read about those elders in chapter 4 as well, sitting on the throne, and it represents the church of God. And in verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, small and great. And the response was praise. And my friends, that must be the response of our heart right now. We must respond to God in praise and worship. Has our worship become rather mechanical? Are we just kind of floating through it? Or are we realizing we're worshiping this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We're worshiping the Savior of the world. We're worshiping the one that redeemed us and saved us and lives for us and is going to come. And so in heaven, what is taking place is this celebration, realizing that the time has come. I lost my breath because I see a big eagle up there, and they visit us every time we're out here because it is so thankful for the Lord. His creation is so wonderful. Verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of many mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty, all-powerful reigns. The sovereign God, the all-powerful God. God has put an end to evil, and our God reigns forevermore. Hallelujah was the praise. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes be glad in the Lord. And in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give glory. Listen now, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. My friends, we are called the bride of Christ. Jesus is the groomsman. The church is the bride of Christ. He even tells us, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. We are the bride of Christ. And he is going to take his bride home at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, to be with him during the tribulation period. Understand this clearly. The 7-year tribulation period is a period of time where the wrath of God is poured out against all ungodliness on this earth. And his church is with him in heaven during the 7 years. And what are we doing in heaven? There is a great marriage feast of the Lamb. It's a great cause for rejoicing, and that's why they're rejoicing. Marriage, with a Jewish mindset, three things took place. First of all, the couple getting married, the man and the woman, they'd be betrothed to one another. There would be a contract made at a young age, a prearrangement by mom and dad. A dowry was paid in advance to the bride's family, and the engagement was a binding engagement. You could not get away from that. If you wanted to divorce that, it would be through a legal documentation to do that. And it's very clear. And in this being betrothed, in this time, there was no sexual relationships. It's just a commitment in that period of time. And then when it was time for the wedding to take place, the groom would be the one to get the bride. So when we have our weddings here, the bride comes down the aisle and receives the groom. But in Jewish history, it is the bridegroom that gets the bride. And that's what took place. And he would bring the bride back to his father's house. And they would have a time there to have the wedding celebration, which would usually last for about 7 days. The bride never would know the day or the time. She would always have to be ready. That's a tough thing for a bride. And then finally, the third thing is the feast would last up to 7 days. The church is the bride of Christ. And Christ loves his bride. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And Jesus is coming for his bride. And Jesus had paid the price for his church. It's been paid by his blood. We are a blood-bought bride. In the rapture of the church, Jesus comes to take his bride to the Father's house. And that can happen at any time. The time, you don't know, but we want to be ready for that. And based on history, and based where we're at, it is soon and very soon. You know, right now, just our nation, with the nuclear armament that we have, we have the capacity to destroy every life. 7 billion people on the earth, we have that capacity. And that's not even talking about other nations with the same nuclear power. That's what's taking place right now. Right now, there's the ability to communicate with everybody in the world simultaneously at one time. Right now, just think about the chaos in this world. You can think about Iran, or you can think about Russia or Turkey or Syria. You can think about North Korea or China, but you can think about our own nation. You can think about your own home and your own heart. Now is the time to turn our hearts to Jesus Christ. Jesus would say, speaking about this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. But I tell you this," Jesus speaking in John 14, "I," Jesus speaking, "go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The bride of Christ in heaven with our Savior and Lord for all eternity. Wherever he is, we are. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord." Sometimes there's confusion. There's two things happening. God is going to come for his church, and then in this text here, he's coming with his church. When he comes for his church, it is only the church. It's only the bride that sees Christ at that time. When Christ comes with his church, every eye shall see the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, it tells us, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, his bride, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The bride, how beautiful, fine, expensive, beautiful, pure and clean, bright, brilliant, radiant." The righteous acts, guess what? It's not your acts or my acts. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What we would be wearing, the garments, are the garments he provides for us, his righteousness. When we are saved, we are found to be right with God, and it's his righteousness, it's his apparel that we wear. In verse 9 it says, "And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God." My friends, if God called you to faith, because that's the only way we get saved, it's the calling of God, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's a surrender of life to Jesus Christ. When we surrender our life to Christ, we realize it's God who called me, it's him who loved me first. And when we have that relationship with him, then you know for certain that he is calling you back home. He's calling you, the bride, to be with him in heaven, to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is real. This is going to happen. Just like his first coming happened, this will happen, and it can happen at any time. And in verse 10, "And I fell at his feet to worship him," John did, "but he said, do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." What we have today is the word of God, the prophetic word of God. And the prophetic word of God, as servants of God, are calling us to worship God. This spirit of prophecy is powerful and it's truthful, because all prophecy points to Jesus. That's why your heart and my heart should be stirring. It's like, I can't wait. I can't wait to be home, to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. This helps me understand just to find the grace of God and the persevering grace to stay with it. God's in control. He's on the move. We're living in these days. We could easily be the last day disciples, but it's an exciting time to live. It's not a time to be strong with fear. It's to be set free with faith in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has a testimony of Jesus. You have that prophetic word in you. God wants you and I to speak more often about Him. We are called to be the ones that speak about Jesus Christ. We're the ones to bring forth the prophetic word. Did you not know that Jesus loves you? Did you not know that He died for your sins? Did you not know He rose from the dead and He conquered death and sin? That we could have in a relationship with Him for all eternity? Did you not know that? Did you not know that it's His loving kindness that leads us to repentance? Did you not know that He wants to have fellowship with you and a relationship with you? Did you not know that? That's the good news. That's the spirit of prophecy. Proclaim God's word. Hebrews 10:7 says, "Behold, I've come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." This book, the Bible, it's about Jesus. May we fall in love with Him. Jesus would say on the road to after His resurrection, "O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about." When we look at verse 11, we see again John speaking, "I saw the heavens open," just as in chapter 4, the heavens open to let John in, the heavens open, and Jesus is released. And He's on a white horse. Behold, a white horse. He is the King of Kings, and He is going to come here. In His lifetime, He was on a donkey, and He came as a suffering servant. But He is returning from heaven as a conquering king. In Revelation chapter 6, it speaks about another individual on a white horse. This is a counterfeit. It's the Antichrist. This is the real king. And the real king coming from heaven, verse 11, "And he who sat on him was faithful and true," faithful to his word, exclusive to the truth of God. He's faithful. We're reading about the prophetic word of God. Prophecy stirs our heart for the reality of why we're here and what's ahead. Prophecy helps us know that we're not the foolish ones. We truly believe in God, and He will never remove that salvation that He's given to us. And God is in charge and in control. He is faithful. Even when we're faithless, even when we fail, He is the faithful one. And it's Him. It's Him that will see us through. So if you've been struggling with sin, just receive His forgiveness. Ask for the power of His Holy Spirit to make right the wrongs and to live in a way that's glorifying to Him. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will sustain you. He is the faithful one. When we see Him, He will say to us, the faithful one will say to you and to me, as followers of Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servants." So your faithfulness to Him reflects how faithful He's been to you. He judges and makes war. The first time when Christ was here, wicked men judged Jesus Christ. Wicked men put Him on the cross. Wicked men put a crown of thorns on His head. But now He's going to judge wicked men. This is a tribulation period. This is when God is going to come against all ungodliness. It's the wrath of God. Let me make an important point right now. When Jesus Christ came to earth and He died on the cross, our sin was on the cross. He didn't have any sin. Our sin was on the cross. And the wrath of God the Father was poured out upon Christ. The wrath we deserve was poured upon Christ to the full extent. That's why He prayed before, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but not my will, thy will be done," as drops of blood were coming down. There is no other way. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no other way. And so wicked men did that. But He has come, and the gospel is being brought to the entire world right now. And we're living in the last days before Jesus returns. And the church will be taken prior to that. Because listen, think it through with me. Let's be biblically accurate. If Christ was subjected to the full wrath of God for our sins, then he's going to remove us before his wrath is poured out upon ungodliness. His wrath is not to be given to his bride. God's wrath is not poured out on his bride. His bride is in heaven enjoying the feast of the Lamb, who's going to come back as the Lion and deal in the battle of Armageddon. Amen? Okay. He's coming. When Jesus was facing Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." We saw Jesus in the book of Acts. When he left to heaven, the angel says, "Why do you keep gazing upward at this Jesus who just left from Galilee, the mountain of Galilee? Why?" This same Jesus who's departing right now, he's going to return in a like manner as you've seen him leave. And it tells us in Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, and he fights in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." He's returning to the same place he left, to the nation Israel, to the Mount of Olives. Anyone who is anti-Semitic or against Jewish people, repent. Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords was a King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of the Jews. And he's coming back to where he departed. And it says, "Which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north and the other half towards the south." And we thank God for that. Jesus would speak in Matthew 24, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will darken and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven with power and great glory." My friends, when you look with me at verse 14 and we see, "And the armies in heaven," that's you. That's the church. That's the bride of Christ. He's coming, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed on white horses. He has a horse for you, and he is riding and leading the way. And there we go, leaving heaven, coming to earth. Don't you remember Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We pray that prayer so often, but this is the fulfillment of that prayer. The King of Kings is coming to earth. And we thank God for that. And these people coming with him is the bride of Christ. And we're so grateful in Revelation chapter 5, 9, and 10, "For you were slain and you have redeemed us by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth forever." I'm totally against the things that are going on in our world right now, trying to divide people up based on color and appearance and nationality and background. That's from hell and that's from the devil, because Jesus says he died for every tribe, every tongue, and all people and all nations. Amen. His blood is for all of us. His blood forgives all of us. And he's the one that makes us one. And we're one in Christ. And don't allow anybody to divide what Christ has brought together. And Jesus, or in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "This is a faithful saying, for he who died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." My friends, we're not only coming back with Christ, we're coming back with our King and Kings and Lord of Lords to reign and rule with him. What a wonderful that's going to be. As a matter of fact, in Jude verse 14, Enoch, and listen, he's the seventh from Adam. So in the beginning of time, Enoch, he prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, you and me, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God will make right all the wrongs. Follow with me, verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule over them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty, and he has a name written on his robe, a name on his thigh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free, slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who work signs in his presence, by which he deceives those who receive the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceed from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. A little bit gruesome there at the end, but we need the full counsel of God's word. So let's just summarize it here right now. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming for everyone who believes in him. And he shows no partiality. And only a fool says in their heart, there is no God. So the word of God has given a fast forward, and we get to see the coming attractions of what's ahead. And what is ahead is this: Jesus Christ, absolutely and completely in control. He loves you. He loves his church. We are the blood-bought church and the bride of Christ. At the appropriate time, the church will be taken with him into heaven. And we will spend 7 years. And part of that experience is the marriage feast of the Lamb of God. At the end of that 7 years, the tribulation period, there's a war going on earth, the battle of Armageddon. Nations are battling against each other. Christ is coming from heaven, and every eye will see him. And these that are battling in the field of Megiddo now collectively turn their attention and their forces against Jesus coming on the white horse, and he will destroy all of those. It's the last day for them, and they will die. During this tribulation period, I want to speak for a moment about the grace of God, because grace of God exists at all times and for all purposes. For those that enter into the great tribulation, that is all unbelievers who enter the great tribulation, may I speak with just a couple of minutes. Christ loves and wants to save. He wishes that none would perish, but all would come to him. But if you think you can wait till the tribulation period to make a commitment to Christ, I'm saying to you right now, that's a foolish wager to make. That if you cannot come to Christ with the grace of God and the love of God and the support of the family of God, to think you can come during the tribulation period is a mistake. But during that time, he's going to send two representatives from heaven. It's in Revelation chapter 11. They're going to be there and proclaim salvation to people for about 3.5 years. He's also going to get 12,000 Jews from 12 tribes, 144,000 Jews. They're going to be sealed with God's, and they're going to be representatives of God during that tribulation period. There's also going to be an angel flying throughout the heavens preaching the everlasting gospel. So thank God for his mercy and his grace. And that's why when we come at the end and we see how gruesome it is, these are people that have denied and hated Christ all their life, and that's what's facing is that judgment of God. Christ took our judgment on, and we thank God for that. Let me end with something we say at Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as was prophesied, the government hasn't been upon his shoulders, but it will be. And we're looking forward to that time. So how does somebody make a commitment to Christ? The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, and you say to the Lord, "Dear Father, dear Jesus, I have sinned against you. I have been battling my family and my friends and other people, and I ask for your forgiveness because my battle's really been against you and your leadership and your salvation and your lordship. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent. I want to turn from my sins and turn to you. I want to be born again, born anew. I receive Jesus Christ now as my Savior and Lord, and I thank you for that gift of eternal life." Amen.